There we go. Let's open our Bible to the book of John, 21. Book of John, chapter 21. And let's read from verse 1 to 14. If the title of the message is that our Lord is in trial, Jesus is in trial. This message I was arranging on Wednesday, I wrote this message 3 years ago. I was arranging it to send it by email, and what I was sending, the Lord spoke to me to give this message today. So you will find the written copy of this message in your emails. That's true. John 21, verse 1 to 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the feet of Tiberias, and on this wise showed himself. They were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they got nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. But he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore. And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he gave his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, jerking the net with fishes. As soon as then, as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which he had now caught. Simon Peter went out and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine, and none of the disciples dared ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. Amen. God, thank you for today. We bless you, magnify you, we adore you. We come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Ask an open-minded son, put words and statements and arrange the message that you want your people to know and hear. I pray for food, I pray that you take this message beyond these words. Help us, O God, to reach others and to help them. Help us to get teaching from this message and apply it in our lives and ministry. I pray for souls to be saved, I pray for sick to be healed. I pray for salvation to be given. I pray for your direction and guidance. Lord, help each and every one of us. I pray for restoration, revival. Pray for help and support that comes from you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Trials will come. Jesus is not bound with our status or our plans or our wishes. But the trials will come and the plan of the Lord will go ahead. The disciples and the apostles of Jesus, they passed through the trial. The Lord was with them. He was. His God was with them as a man, living with them, eating with them, going, coming with them. Every day they can see him as a faithful friend, always available, but all of a sudden, when he was caught and crucified and died, and he was dead and rose from the dead, what had happened after he rose from the dead? He is no more available to them as a person, walking with them, as a person they can see, they can shake hands, they can hug, they can... He is no more there in their life, that every day he is with them, he is collecting them, he is telling them what they need to do. But now, they are hardly able to see him. From the passage, we can get good conclusion in our life. Trials should not discourage us. Trials should not discourage us. Whether the disciples were discouraged, you may say yes or you may say no. But if you read verse 3, then you can understand this conclusion. Trials should not discourage us. See, my teacher says unto them, I go and fishing. So he gets, we know that Simon Peter was called by the Lord to be fishers of men. He has certain assignments, certain things that he needs to do. All of a sudden, part of this discouragement, because the Lord is not there, he is not able to see the Lord, he decided that I will go back to where I was doing before. And when he says this, we also go with thee. And with him was Thomas, Nathanael, two sons of Zebedee, and two other six people with him. He took away from the Lord. He went away from the Lord, and he took six people with him in the trial. Don't let discouragement reign in your heart and life and let you go in the wrong direction. Second point, trials should not blind your eyes from seeing the Lord. Trials, whatever the trials that you pass through, every trial, there is certain time in trial repeated, but there is certain time in trial is often you. In new things happening, how this can happen, we never see that. Not, that is not expected. Trials should not blind you from seeing the Lord. Trials should not blind your eyes from seeing the Lord. In verse 4 it says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that was Jesus. So they were, you're not able to see that? No, this where here, the distance from the shore, I think 200 kilometers, I think 120 meters, plus or minus. 120 meters, you can recognize the person. If you know him, you can recognize him. They saw him, but they knew not that he is there. Or that is Jesus that he was with him before. So here, why we cannot see the Lord? Because there is blindness in our sight. Why we are blind? Because for us the standard of seeing the Lord, when there is no trial, the Lord is there. When there is a trial, the Lord is not there. That is obviously the wrong concept of many who follow. In the trials, don't let trials blind your eyes from seeing the Lord. The third conclusion, in the trials, know that the Lord is near you, even if you cannot see Him. Instead of complaining that the trial is the sign that the Lord is not there, trial is the sign that the Lord is near me. And the Lord is handling us, handling His church, handling you and me, handling His disciples and apostles during that trial. Trial was allowed by God at that time because the Lord was dealing in certain things for the church to grow, for the disciples to grow, for things need to be received, they need to be crucified. And they need to accept that He is no more as man walking with them, but they would follow Him by the leading of the Holy God after He go to heaven. The fourth point, in a trial, exercise faith. In verse 5 we see, then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered Him, no. In trials we live and we exercise faith. At that moment of their life, when they get the decision that they need to go and fish with Simon Peter, that one night they were not able to get fish. Now their problem, what is their problem, is that they don't have fish. That is their superficial need. But the biggest need is their departure from God, so that it is not trial. Now the point here, the Lord knows that they don't have meat, they don't have fish. He asked them because He wants them to know that their life does not depend on the fish, but their life depends on their faith on Him. And that faith will enable them to pass that trial. I don't know what is your need today. Money? Love? Comfort? Shelter? Healing? At all, it might be your need. But God wants you to know. You need to live by faith. Life will run on. Not because these needs will be satisfied. Because somebody, I need love, somebody love me today, somebody give me food today, somebody give me fish today. My love will be sustained by my faith on the Lord. So in prayer, exercise faith. Prayer, trust Him that He is there, even you cannot see, but I believe that Jesus is standing here with me, beside me, walking with me. The fifth conclusion. In trials, train yourself to hear the voice of God. Why we need to hear the voice of God? When Jesus speaks or the Holy Spirit speaks, and let me tell you something, Jesus is now on the right hand of God the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit to us. Who is running the church? The head of the church is Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is residing in us and controlling the church. He is the one. He hears from God the Father, and He will come to tell us. We need to put our ears, and we need to manage to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. In a trial, the flesh and the emotion and the thoughts, you know, like a pot. I do not try to listen to nothing, but it's like a pot burning. But that is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. We're not the reading of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 4, trial will be solved step by step when we abide with the voice of Jesus. See, even they, He came to them, but they were not able to see Him well. But He started to speak. He told them, This is at chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them loving tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here, the Holy Ghost came on them. First they hear a voice of a wind. It's not a wind, because wind, when you go through the wind, you can see that your face, and your hair, and your, if you are weak in your body, and the wind is strong, you may be blow your way. But since they hear the voice only, they hear the voice of the wind. And also, they saw with their eyes tangible, tangible evidence that they hear the voice and they can see. In a trial. Don't rely on your feelings and your thoughts. People will say, we say, I felt the Holy Spirit. I did not read in the Bible that somebody felt the Holy Ghost. In Book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. I need to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost, and I need to see with my eyes. In Book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, and there. 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, says the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his deeds. The feelings don't depend on your feelings to judge situations. Don't rely on your feelings, and don't rely also on your thoughts. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55, and verse 8 and 9. When the Lord speaks, He speaks from the Scriptures, and He confirms the Scriptures. Why we need to hear, let our ears attentive to the voice of Jesus? For one reason, when Jesus speaks, He gives solution. When our thoughts and emotions speak, we raise up trouble. Again, when the Holy Spirit speaks, He gives solution. When our mind and thoughts and feelings speak, raise up trouble. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Christ speaks from the Scriptures, also about the thoughts, in the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto their own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Yes, they are certain understanding. Our understanding should go back to the scriptures. And when the Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks scriptural things. Either scriptures or scriptural things. And he will do the things after that. In the trials, you may hear voices and you get thoughts. You need to filter it out with the discretion. When the thought that comes to you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 thoughts, you need to filter it. Who is first based on scriptures? Keep it. Those on scriptures, take it out. Those who are on scriptures, wait upon God to confirm that it. Wait, if God, that thought comes from him, he will do something concerning. You know, when he sent the Lord Jesus to John the Baptist, and the Lord already spoke to John the Baptist, the one whom you see the Holy Ghost come on him like a dove, that is the Messiah. So, John the Baptist, he was not led by his heart or soul, but he had the Word of God, and he was waiting for that Word of God to be fulfilled. Let's go back to John 21. The next point number 7. In the trial, abide with the instruction of Jesus that he spoke to you. When the Lord has spoken from his word and he confirmed it, that you need to do. In verse 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So he spoke to them. That voice came, floating it on the right side. And they were able to get to catch large amount of fish. So what he spoke came to pass to give them solution. That is not the solution of their problem. That is just temporary solution. Their problem is not that they don't have fish. Their problem is they have been departed from the Lord. So, the first voice, when he told them, throw the net on the right side. They obey that voice. They get their fish, but they are not yet in the perfect will of God. God is leading us in his trials, step by step. By his voice, and by what he is doing. If he says something, it will be confirmed. He will confirm it, and he will show that is the next step that we need to do. I will read in verse 7. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he gave his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Peter at that time was naked, he was fishing, but when God decided for him, it is the Lord, the first thing he did, he got the coat and he covered himself. Why he covered himself? Because he was naked. It was acceptable to do that? It was not acceptable. We learn in a trial. We should not do something that is not acceptable. So here, when trial is going on, God is leading us step by step, and he is correcting his disciples. There is something more. The Lord came, right? In a person. Did they recognize him? No. When he spoke, did they recognize him? When he told them through the net, did they say that he is the Lord? No. When they caught the fish, that's the time, oh, that is the Lord again. You see how it is if we depend on our thoughts and our hearts. The Lord is calling, they did not recognize him. The Lord came, they were not able to see him when he confirmed it step by step. They were able to see that he is the Lord. And they said, and therefore, that disciple, he said, therefore, so they, after they caught large amount of the fish, based on that disciple whom the Lord Jesus loved, said unto Peter, it is the Lord. So, next conclusion, point 9. See Jesus through the miracles that he is doing in your life. Any miracle is because Jesus is in your life. Now that help us. It's not that the point is that we live on miracles, but I'm speaking about that certain time we are in hard trials and we need to see the Lord, we need to hear his voice, and we need to trust in that he is there. The miracle is just is like a milestone to lead us all back to the right track. So see this through miracles that he is doing in your life and in your and in the surrounding that is where you are. The next point, in a trial, put in your mind that Jesus is doing the miracle in your life, even if there is no yet miracle. Just believe that Jesus is doing miracle in your life. In verse 11, when it says that Simon Peter went up and brought the net to land full of great fishes, and 153, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. This is his outstanding miracle. Fish is too much, yeah, and the net is intact the same way. As we say, see this through miracle, but if there is not yet miracle, believe that Jesus is able and is going to do an outstanding miracle in your life. Next point. Train yourself to consider any favor of God as a miracle. You know, he gave him a big catch of fish, outstanding miracle. But also, when they came near shore, he told them, if you have given some of the fishes, he was preparing bread and he was preparing some fish. So he was preparing a meal for them and he told them, come and take. Okay, this is what he told them here is, this word, God, Jesus saying to them, come and dine. And then none of the disciples just asked him, who are thou? Knowing that it was there. So he invited them for a meal. Now if you compare the small meal that they received compared with the 153 fish. The 153 fish is a big miracle. The meal they received is a favor of the favor of God, you know, some favor, some comfort, something, small things that are coming in your life. It may be small thing, but consider it as a favor because the Lord is there with you in your life. Step by step, you will be able to see him. Step by step, he will calm your emotions and take all your thoughts, especially the negative source, and He will make you see that your life, based on Him and based on what He sees in His scriptures. I was translating this message to Arabic. I also recording it on Sunday. The word favor, I want to translate to Arabic. I did not remember, so I go to the Bible and I find where is the word favor. And I go to the Arabic Bible and I found the meaning of favor in Arabic is grace. Even the favor of God, the small thing that you receive, that is the grace of God in your life. Consider it natural. Don't consider something trivial. Consider it miracle in your life. Like the same of 153 fish is a miracle. That also the same is a miracle in your life. Live the life of faith. And exercise thanksgiving and sharing what the Lord has blessed you with. The Lord took the bread and He gave them. But you receive from God a favor and a blessing and a grace from Him. Share it with other people. That is how we live by faith. And that is how God is restoring us back to the right plan that He had for us. Point number 13. Learn to count your blessing and the time that the Lord has appeared to you in your life. Count your blessing, name them one by one. And that is the time that the Lord has appeared in your life. You read verse 14. Say, this is now the third time that Jesus shows Himself to His disciples. After that, He was risen from that day. The word shows had been repeated three times in this passage. We need to see the Lord in our life, whether small favor, whether big favor, whether big miracle, whether there is no miracle, whether there is a trial. We need to see Him, and we need to continue in the way that Christ had assignment. Christ had assignment to the other disciples. The Lord went back to them that day. He went twice on the day of when He rose from the dead, according to John. After 8 days, He went to them again to show Himself to Thomas and Demas, and now third time to them to bring them back from the sea where He had taken them away to do His service and their assignment. Let's read verse 15 to verse 17. After you count your blessing, you can see that it was Jesus there in your life. It was coming from Him. And the Lord will speak more in verse 15 to verse 17. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, yes, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yes, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. Let's stand. We have given us assignment. Trial, experiment. Things that we pass through, we may consider them something new, but we need to pass through it and we need to go back to where God wants us to do His word and what He has assigned unto us. Lord, thank you for your word. I pray, O God, that what you give us today, a bread or fish, or we hear your voice, wherever stage we are, Lord, take us back. Take us back, O God, because there are sheep and lambs, people who need to be fed with your word, O God. I pray in the name of Jesus, O God, every one of us would be reminded how many times God appeared to him. And let us conclude right conclusion, led by the Holy Spirit, instructed by your word to do the right things. Let's count our blessing. Let's count the favors of God this night. Then we can conclude that He appeared to us. Let us filter out our thoughts and our feelings from His voice. Oh God, direct us. Amen. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus as you restore the disciples gently back to you, back into your perfect will. I pray, live with us. Oh God, live with us, oh Lord, as you did with them. Gently, with your God, take us out in the name of Jesus. Your word, Lord, is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Let's thank you for your word, your life. Speak to us, your spirit. Guide us, O Lord. We trust you. We know you are here, near us, inside us. Lead us. We bless your holy name. I pray that this message will make rich those in need of it, O God. And be a solution. And be deliverance and relief and restoration. We thank you, God. We bless you. We magnify you. God bless us. Let us indeed, the Lord of our territory, God. Take your hand with us. Keep us loaded from hearts to the sin of sick things. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Lord be with us all in this name. Amen.